Hello and welcome back. My name's Dave and I'm joined as ever by my friend Ian.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about Friday, E3 2023.
Oh yeah.
Let's go. Starting off with me being an absolute numpty.
Yeah.
And like, so I'm chilling out, I'm having a nice time, it's Friday, I'm like, oh, I better get ready for the new player skirmish so I can go down and like, help out the new people. And
you're really excited
fun.
About the new place.
I like it, dude. It's fucking wholesome.
It's like the third time you've done it.
It's like the fucking new players are hype. Yeah. They're really fucking... It's really cool. It's a really nice thing to do.
You'd also just cross that barrier between like being like, oh, it's... getting ready for the new player skirmish and then being like, yeah, I'm going to go and do the new player skirmish.
Get a bit of
and
combat.
Then what did you discover?
I have forgotten my boots.
You've forgotten your boots?
Both sets of boots.
Boots. And it's like, oh, it was one of those things, and like...
It's always you, and now it was me.
The difference being, of course, you live like 20, 30 minutes away.
It's 35 minutes.
Yeah.
But the problem was, Empire is now fucking enormous, and therefore it's 20 minutes to walk back to the car.
Yeah.
So I literally was like, right, 2 hours before time in, I just need to go and do this now.
Yeah.
So I sent Tim a message saying, sorry, I can't make it to the fucking new player skirmish. I gotta go. And I just fucking jumped in the car, drove all the way back, stopped off at McDonald's on the way because I realized I hadn't eaten yet and I was really hungry.
I was getting legitimately worried about you not making it back on time for standing.
And then I ate some McDonald's, jumped back in the car again with my boots, drove back, obviously sticking to the speed limit at all times, and then arrived on site again. And I've been in and out of the site like a bunch of times at this stage. It became almost like a joke that I was constantly going backwards and forward. Managed to find a car parking space. Oh, by the way, Empire's big now. Jesus,
really
fucking Christ. The roads were in the actual campsite roads were in pretty bad condition even from the Thursday, weren't they? They were very lumpy.
Yeah.
Lots of people getting skiddy, and the bouncing, like the suspension on people's cars were like, it looked like people were doing a rock and roll, like the Snoop Dogg video where they all bounce cars.
I was, there were some parts where I was like, oh man, am I gonna like damage my exhaust or something? Like,
yeah, I heard a lot of scrapes. Hey ho,
it is what it is.
Also, parking miles away, I think there's a lot more people camping OC now, which kind of pushes that out as well. So, anyway. Ran back. I still had my trousers on. Swapped out for my shirt.
Yeah.
Ran back with my IKEA bag full of my boots. I think I was... I rolled up to the security just as time in happened. And I think I was like 5 minutes late because I parked in the overflow car park bit.
Yeah.
Dashed down there. Put my booties on. And then literally went straight into... Okay, team... Let's talk.
Yeah, actually, you were impressively into business, though. I think you were very hype, but also, I think in a weird way, that kind of stress energy had kicked you into getting things organized. Because I say, it was fascinating watching you and your team just hash stuff out on Friday.
It was more important because I was so frazzled that I needed... to talk to Agni and Gaius about what the hell was happening because I was like, there's too much going on in my mind. I'm going to let something drop.
Yeah.
So I need like everyone to be on board. So we had a really quick powwow. There was one of my plans was to put a Senate motion forward for the throne vote. And I had plans for that.
Yes. But these were very spicy plans.
Yes.
Which I can't talk about.
Which we can't talk about.
Yeah.
But through talking to different people and also some of the throne candidates, I decided to not put the motion in.
Yeah.
Because there's still a lot of maneuver that needs to happen. So,
I think in the end it's the right decision.
I agree.
The candidates needed time to canvass was the main argument I heard.
And also, I actually can't talk about it.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of candidates that are very, very popular.
Mm.
And basically, from what I understand, most people are like, I would vote for the other person if one of them wasn't standing. And therefore, it's kind of getting to that stage. A lot of the general population are getting antsy. Gellert's getting antsy because I believe that the Empire should have a throne.
Mm.
Like, the throne is a position which can move between each of the political bodies. Mm. They have certain rights and powers, which means that they can kind of, like, start to bring a bit more, wrangle a bit more of the different bodies in together, you know?
Yeah, I think it lets certain things... I mean, it's not flawless, because obviously these still bodies are still very powerful, even when a throne is in place, and intentionally so, that's part of the design.
Yeah.
But it does allow for there to be more of a identity, I suppose, and a spear thrusted identity with certain policies that can be driven through the various bodies of government.
I don't even know how much I can talk about.
No.
Because it's like...
Well, that's why I'm talking.
Like,
because...
I think once once we have a throne, hopefully this year, would be really nice. But I would love to talk about in detail some of my thoughts on what this process has been like. Mm-hmm. But I can't really do that in good conscience. So,
and I think the other thing is there's also a reasonable portion, if not it may even be, and this is from my own perspective, I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth at all. There's a reasonable portion of people who actually are very much of the there shouldn't be a throne.
There's
opinion.
A lot of Republic chat.
Yes, there's a lot of Republic chat.
Wee whispers on the wind about revolution in the distance.
Yeah, which is interesting. And I find all of this very spicy. I don't even know how I sit on it, as Telus doesn't give a lot of thought beyond like the Senate level, really.
Like I was saying in the pre-larp, Gellert is a true believer in the Empire and the way it's structured and the way it's like. I think that this is the best form of governance ever. And therefore... I'm actually like quite a hardliner that we need a throne.
Mm.
And I think like the failings in inverted commas, depending on how you view it, but so the lack of communication between the different bodies, not having a like an inspirational figurehead, right? Someone that really represents the virtues of the Empire.
Yeah.
Is something we need.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so, yeah, anyway.
No, I think it's fascinating, and I think, again, I think this is really interesting area of play where you're engaging with Gellert as the character, and how those drives move your game. I think it's...
Yeah.
And because the thing is, as well, unlike, say, my game, like, Telus's drives drive where he goes to have a party, or where he goes to... do a thing.
Which
right?
fashion show are you going to be at?
All of that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. But your drives actually are... They have kind of like sway over... Not necessarily massive, but they have sway over areas of play and areas of political opinion, in a sense. I think it's quite interesting the way that you... It's kind of fun. Like, you were a candidate elected on a certain thing on a populist platform... What does that mean when it actually hits the field? And I think the way you've played with that is really good fun. I think it's...
I think, like, it's the same as the military council, the same as the Senate. Cooperation is a big part of it. PvP is a big part of it. But there's one thing you have to remember whenever you're in these sort of positions is you're an island.
Mm.
And you can try and conform... to the norm of what things are and carry yourself in front of like much more experienced people some people are very fucking persuasive and very good orators. But I think like there's part to be said to be like, what are the principal models of my character? What do they want? And then be like, okay, I'm gonna literally go and do that. And it might not be the right decision. It might be, might not be.
Mm.
But it's good to stick to your principles as a character, and I think that's one thing I'm starting to do at the moment, you know?
I think the other thing is that you also tend to temper that with this idea of your character has objectives and principles but isn't to the state where they're absolutely blind and won't take outside input. Like, you spoke to Travid, you spoke to Leafy, you get insight, and it's like you may want there to be a throne, but maybe now isn't the time, and you can be persuaded towards that point. I think that's an interesting aspect.
It's to be informed without being swayed.
Yes, I think that, yeah, you do that line very well.
Oh man, this line here. Black forms.
Okay, yeah, so... Oh, this is a lot of stuff to unpack here. I'm not entirely sure how much I can say.
I don't know either. Let's start off with Black Fawns are a Fawnborn, which is like a group of fighters, effectively. Yeah. We've got quite good connections with.
Yeah.
Like the ex-ambassador to Hercynia is a guy called Riz, who was one of my mentors. Not Miarin, Hercynia. Not Hercynia. Fucking, that's my place. Fucking Ferunin.
Yeah.
Travid is the senator for there. They've got some good bods.
Yeah.
And we're friends with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you like to...
Okay, so... Okay, Larkin was a general of, I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, Lysenia's Dance, who died as a result of things that happened on the field. The broader story is as a result of Talis. Okay. There's a potential that hell happened.
The public perception is...
Yeah.
Talis called for a immediate withdrawal from the battlefield, which led to a panicked rout, which led to a lot of people dying, including Larkin, who was a very well-respected and popular person and general.
Good friend of Talis's as well.
Yep.
Now, also present at the battle and field marshal of the battle was Rizart.
Yeah.
Who couldn't make last event. Communications between us have been interesting. I won't say more than that.
Spicy, icy letters.
And in the David, the player, is fantastic. Yeah, he's and
good looking, charming Jesus. Bastard.
Isn't he just
a prick.
And an outrageously good role player.
Yeah.
Outrageously good.
Fucking
And then I'm massive friends with Sol, obviously, who plays Farron. The fucking... Oh, man, it's so hard to even explain. Like, bearing in mind, like, there's Talis and Gaius, and there's also Talis and Farron. We're talking about people who've been around for the whole length of the story in which I've experienced it, okay? And Farron's one of these people who I'm super close with, who actually understands a lot of the other things that you don't necessarily see about Talis, the relationship we have. This might be presumptuous to say, I kind of feel like I'm kind of like an uncle slash father figure in a wacky kind of way.
Oh my God.
To Farron.
Oh my
God. Like an older, older brother is maybe not even the right term. I'd say I feel it's like an uncle kind of thing. I'm very much like, and we'll get into this, like Talis as a weird kind of grief counselor. Which is often the role he kind of has fallen into, is a thing.
But not very good when you're the one responsible or seemingly responsible.
But it's much more complicated than that, which, again, I'm sorry having to skirt around a bunch of this. Do find out in play if you are so interested. All of this, and then due to some things that happened, which this I have to be very careful to talk about.
This is...
Due to some things that had happened last event with a good friend of mine who is now no longer in Navar.
Yes.
There are people who I'm also good friends with who I had discussions with. That's all I can say on that subject. You were very similar.
Also had some stuff that I had going on, which I can't talk about, which I wish I could talk about because it's really juicy and really fun.
Yes.
But we can't talk about it.
I sent a letter to one of these people. Now, if they choose to say more about it, I will leave that entirely up to them. But there are other podcasts and...
Hashtag other podcasts are available.
Yeah, and if you want a fuller perspective, one of those podcasts might illuminate you. Who knows? Now, I sent a really fun letter to one of them, which was great fun. But turning up to Black Scar, because I knew I had to have a certain conversation, but Rizart's there. And I turn up, and one of the first things I say as he approaches the camp is, what is fucking Talis Ashborn doing here? And it was so spicy. And it was just like, due to the letter I'd received, and I was like, am I not welcome in the Black Fawn camp? I kind of like said it to the sort of group, and I was basically like, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I was basically, have you elevated yourself to a position whereby you can speak and deny me entry here. It got like quite tense. And then they called him out because at the Whispers Through the Black Gate, which they'd done for Larkin, Larkin had
which
said...
Which is a spell you can cast, yes, to speak to someone who had died.
Yes. Larkin had said that Rizar gave her the order to stay behind. And yes.
That's spicy.
And this was really spicy. And then they called him out into the middle of that, the circle of them. And they did the whole like kneel and they called shame on him. And then it was interesting, actually, because I'm standing there as Talis, right? And I'm like, I'm watching this, and then he stands and he explains why he did and why he said what he said. And he, I mean, David is a phenomenal role player.
Yeah.
And he drops this bit of RP, which is like talking about like how he's like, you know, his links and his love for Larkin, and he, you know, why he asked her to do what he did, and like that, you know, it's the army that he helped build, all of this kind of stuff. And he just went on this kind of like rant, and then he was like, actually, Talis, like, I respect that you were willing to take up a responsibility and this kind of stuff. And it was kind of this really weird kind of moment where I was just like, we had this weird kind of like look where we both realized that like there wasn't actually so much of a difference between us.
You got charmed by him.
I did get charmed by him. He's and he completely won me over. Devious. And I was like, fuck, I wanted to like properly rail against you because the letter you sent me was extremely actionable, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But you're so charming and incredible, and your RP so strong. And I was just, it just led to this awesome moment of RP, which was kind of, I'm not going to in any way say I was like big shakes in because it was very much a Black Scar thing. RPing, all I'll say is RPing around Black Scar is an absolute privilege. All the players are top tier.
Yep.
The way they act together, the ethos as players they have together, I love it. I like the hard RP, and it just is a privilege to be part of. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, standing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, do you want to go into your stuff?
Yeah, so
as a senator, you were one of the first people who step out.
Yeah, so they introduced all the senators. Martin, who plays Travid, was held up through some OC stuff.
Yes.
And yeah. So his proxy took over. Who was very fucking capable, may I add. He took to that shit like a duck to water.
Yeah.
And that involved them saying, oh, I'm going to do this and this, and there'll be free drinks.
Yeah.
And then Leafy steps forward, and he's like, this is what's going on. Also free drinks. And I step out there, and I go, talk to me about this and this, and also no free drinks. I walk off. I also said, I'm the ambassador to Hakinia. Oh my god, how embarrassing. It's like one of those fucking, you know, those like embarrassing, socially awkward dreams. It was literally that.
Was it
real?
Like a Joe Biden style kind of gaffe?
Oh my
it's like,
god.
Oh, I see.
It showed how frazzled I was and how unlike chill I was.
Genuinely, it's an awful feeling. Because I've had this before in previous LARPs, where it's like you're completely happy and comfortable, and then like 2 hours before time in, or an amount of time before time in, you suddenly realise you've got to rush your ass.
Well, I think the problem
it's not a good feeling,
especially with the job I've got at the moment. It's like I have a lot of different things that I'm potentially juggling in my head, and then like speaking doesn't work, and but at the end of the day, I think it's like people found it kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's also like, hey, you fucking voted for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of your fault that I'm your senator.
I actually quite like you do own a little bit of that swagger as well.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, you know, I'm your senator. You voted for me. You're all behind me. Otherwise, you're idiots, right?
Yeah.
It's got that kind of swagger to it. Like,
exactly.
you don't want to call yourself an idiot, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're not calling yourself out.
Yeah.
That would be dumb.
You voted me in, you know? So
it's really good. Like, actually, I genuinely love how you kind of present yourself at standing. And I like the different flavours of Senator.
Yes.
And we've always, in Navarre, I think, had these kind of different things. I mean, David is playing Rizart was like this before. A very different style to you. But there is a very clear identity of each Senator. It almost... I don't know how true it is, but it feels like it almost represents each region quite well. Like, you know...
Yeah, maybe.
In the swamps of Ferunin, you need a person like Travid to get stuff done, right? You need someone who's, like, gonna, like, hustle and get logistics down and move people, well, because it's, like, you know...
Hakinia's kind of, like, the arse end of nowhere. It's, like, we got swamps and we got mountains, and it not much development there. Yeah, I quite like it. Hakinia's my jam. Yeah. Also, the legacy of different people that have, like...
Rizard was a great fucking senator.
But no, it was kind of fun. Like, I had a few people approach me. I made really careful to walk away from the circle. It's really easy to get caught up in conversation around standing. But a few people came up to me, had a few chats with me about a few different things. It was really nice to kind of like, I don't know, just to be a person where people want to come talk to you about something, talk to you about their plans, talk to me about how I was just like, how can I help? Yeah, really, really good. So I appreciate that. I won't go into all of them because I think some of that's private game.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. For me, I was announcing that there'd be the Archers election, obviously, and that I had information sheets to hand out. And wow, they flew... off the shelf very quickly. I'd printed 120 of these things, essentially. 20 were in little handouts. I'd given some away before time and not very many. Between here and Fawn's Council, I got rid of 120 sheets in under an hour.
Jesus.
Which was a lovely feeling, but it was like, it was so much fun.
You're welcome, Navarre.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I went to Fawn's Council to start with, and then I was told that they needed people. I received a letter from someone in the Broker's Council that they wanted senators to come by, so I swiftly moved off from Fawn's Council, because there was a lot of shit going on at Fawn's Council to go to the Broker's Council. Yeah. Tell us about what happened at Fawn's Council.
Okay. Okay. Previous Fawn's Council, I was voice of Fawn's proxy while Georg was away.
Yes.
Which was an interesting decision.
Yes.
Part of that role is being given a sash.
Yes.
And this sash marks you as the voice of Fawn's, and it's your responsibility to hold on to it and give it, obviously, back.
You did bring it back.
Well, I may have misplaced it.
Oh my god.
And I don't...
Oh my god.
The problem was...
Why?
It's so bad. It was one of those awful moments where it's just like, I wasn't sure, because I bring a lot of stuff to Empire, to be perfectly honest with you.
So much stuff.
And I was like, geez, am I going to...
That's worse than me forgetting my boots.
Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible because... But the great thing with Tom, we get on really well.
You're just confirming all of the beliefs about you.
I know. The thing is, it reached the point where I was just like sometimes you just have to own this shit as well, and it, which is great. I genuinely wasn't sure if I spent like an hour rummaging through my tent if I would find it, or if it was just back at home. And to be honest with you, Empire is too much juice in the fucking fruit that I want to squeeze out, and I'm not going to spend that time rummaging for a scent. Sorry, Tom. So I didn't look for it. Properly.
God.
Which I apologise for, but it actually added a lot of drama. I'm genuinely worried, though, that if I've properly lost it, and I'm going to do a proper search tomorrow, if I genuinely lost it, dude, I'm going to have to like make a new one or something. Yes, I feel so guilty, genuinely, for not just being able to straight hand it back. It was
so funny.
Perfect Ian. Like, it's not even Talis, it's Ian.
Oh, it's perfect Talis too.
Brilliant. But yeah, so I did not have the sash, so I could not give Georg back the thing, and he was calling for it at the beginning of council, which was so funny. I was Erin, who's played by Justin, who basically called out at the beginning of standing why I have the brand. Now, interestingly, the first time I was given the brand, I didn't quite understand. This is the brand of Irimus, which is basically a winter thing, which means that if someone asks you why you have the brand, you have to repeat the words in which that you were told.
Exactly.
Now, I didn't fully understand, I have to say, and the whole experience of having it done, I was a bit frazzled, basically, and I didn't quite catch the phrasing correctly. So this going into this event, I made sure that I had the phrasing down and I knew exactly what I had to say. So when he asked me about this time, I was able to announce. And Justin's a fantastic player, and we get on really well.
Partly
he asks because it's a good game. Partly he asks because it's funny as shit and he loves it.
Yeah.
And partly he asks as like almost so I can suddenly like say what the actual proper wording is.
He's playing a very antagonistic character this time around.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I would say
our relationship, actually, the Aaron Talis relationship is actually more cordial than maybe people from the outside understand, because he understands actually better than I think most people do what Talis actually did. I can't really say more than that. But and his role in that and how everyone involved is accepting certain roles. I think it's very interesting play when you look at it in a deeper sense. And that's what makes it fun. But it was so fun to be like, he called me out and then I like properly approached him and said in a much more firm way, this is why.
What? Do you know it now?
I don't know. I think you have to find out in play. I think you have to find out in play. Yeah, that's not saying that I want to queue people just lining up asking.
Queue up and ask him what that mark on his face is.
But it was fun to be like, yeah, this is why. And that was, and the reaction from the group actually was quite interesting. It was nice. That was all a lot of fun.
I remember it being not that damning and actually quite thought-provoking, the words.
Yeah. Which is actually how it was supposed to have been. A massive respect for the people who originally branded me. But of course, the real reason, one of the main purposes we're all there, is the election of the Black Fawns General, currently held by Caro. And a bunch of people have basically stood up to be elected for this position.
There were loads!
Some people who were new players, like pretty much hot off the press new players. Rizzet was standing for it. Caro himself was standing for it.
There were some good people.
Some good people also, standing for
it. I was still there for that. And I would say, like, hats off to the new players that stood up and did it. Mm. I thought it's really admirable to stand up and just go for it. I think you learn from doing the process.
Yeah.
And if any of those people were going to run for that position again, they would come significantly better armed.
Yeah.
And so definitely don't call it quits. Try again. And, you know,
there's so much growth in so many different ways. And it, like, even if it turns out that being a general isn't the thing that your character falls into.
Yeah.
There's
Spoilers. If you're going to go for an imperial title, let's take a general.
Yeah.
Go to military council.
Yeah.
You don't have to be an adjunct. Just kind of get a vibe for the place.
Put the yardage in, right?
Put a little bit of, and it doesn't take much.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be a senator, go and watch a Senate hearing. Yeah. Like, these are things that you might get asked for, and it looks really good if you can turn around and go, yes, I have been
knowledge to walking into it. You don't need that much, but it's just having, I think a lot of it, and maybe more in the senatorial thing, having an opinion that you can stand behind with some kind of argument,
mm-hmm.
and that has a basis, a principle behind it, a virtue, an opinion that is based on the current situation in the empire,
mm-hmm.
which actually, it sounds intimidating, but is not as difficult to achieve as you would think.
Yes.
Just running around talking to people who have knowledge on the subject for an event will key you up with pretty much all the information you would need to then apply for a position the next event.
Yes. I also think it's important to remember, nobody knows what they're doing when they first start. Just fucking wing it. Look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. Like, yeah.
Yeah, hats off to them. It was a really interesting, because militarily, Navarre's in an interesting position. Especially a lot of new people stepping into roles. Stuff. I have opinions, I can't really speak on them about certain things. But yeah, it was interesting listening to everybody's positions. Long and short of it was, Rizzet won the generalship.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do fantastically. David is such an incredible player. I was also so pleased for Rob, actually, the way, you know, it's tough to go for something for, you know, hold it for a year and then lose it. But he approached his character, the way he plays Caro, and the way he's... Caro's been a wonderful servant to the nation. And yeah. It's interesting, like, again, there's like the relationship Talis has with Caro and the conversations we have are often about like the idea of being the person for the moment. And it doesn't, you know, that it's not about personal legacy or aggrandizement or anything like that. There is that the Na'vari way, like
doing the job,
is doing the thing. And if you can do the thing for a season, for a year, there's pride in that.
I agree.
And Caro is like exactly that. Yeah. It was so nice to see. Obviously, he's emotional when he doesn't get it, as anybody would be, because you put a lot of yourself into these things and he cares. And obviously, he spent a year, he's learned a lot of stuff and he'd just come into his own kind of thing. But at the same time, some of it's difficult. There's good and bad sides about being a general, good and bad sides about being a senator.
Yeah.
If you were to lose it, part of you would be gutted, part of you would be freed. There's all sorts of emotions, it's important to say, that are taking place with a player who is going through that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Robert approached it in just the healthiest way, dealt with it so well, was there to help. And I would like genuinely to hats off, because it's an interesting sort of situation for a player to be in, to be like voted out essentially after doing the job. And I think just treat it like a champ. And what I liked about it was true to the character. Like the idea of actually making the, like going through the voting process and being voted out, not standing down, because Caro wouldn't stand down. He would make the person who is applying for the job, because he's that kind of character, earn it by voting, going against them. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's bravery involved in that, right? It's easy to stand down before the vote because you don't actually want to be voted out.
I think he's done a great job.
He's been fantastic. And it was very close, by the way, the votes.
It's going to be a lot better now because Caro has been going on bloodthirsty charges into enemy lines.
I said to him before we went into the battle,
He's free to die without, dragging half of the Na'vari army with him.
I said, like, I'm not going to have to run, like, with my puny sword into, like, orcish lines to pull you out.
Again.
It was a lovely... I love the Na'vari way, actually. The fawns all do the thing. We all stand behind the candidate. The votes are tallied. The person's announced. And it was just all conducted in the best spirit. And I loved it.
So while this is all going on, I head over to Broker's Council.
Mm.
I'm not a broker.
No.
What's
Broker's Council actually like? I know nothing about it, by the way.
So there's a few key folks that kind of do that stuff. Basically, a lot of it is talking about what resources the nation needs and how they as a group are going to collectively try and get those resources in place. I was actually kind of like, this is a huge blind spot in my knowledge is what, and I think this is the point of why inviting centers, because Fawns Council is all very sexy. It's
very raw.
Like, we're going to fucking fight and lots of shouting and all that stuff. But like the actual council, the Broker's Council actually do a lot of the real hard work that makes Na'var go. And we're kind of like, let me put it this way. I would say at least 3-1 outnumbered by Fawns Council. There are a lot of Fawns in Na'var and not many brokers. So they do a lot of work and a lot of good. They had a couple of elections for national seats. So these are kind of like national board seats.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good process, actually. Got a little spicy. There was a couple of accusations about people, which was really interesting. I don't know about the truth of any of that, so I just watched it, but it was a really interesting thing. They voted, and then there was a conversation about how buildings are actually made and commissioned. This is still something I'm still learning, so I'm not going to speak on it now. I have a rough idea, but I feel confident enough to speak on the podcast about it. But really interesting. So, I hand out a few. There's a few. I got my player pack and I got like a few resources.
Right.
And basically, I lost a bet. So, I received 1 crown, 6 rings, and a bunch of resources. I had to give the crown away because I lost a bet. So I had 6 rings, and then I gave away most of my resources to a bunch of new brokers. And I think the new brokers were under the impression that I had resources to burn. But I suddenly realized I'd given away my only way of generating funds. So I had 6 idiot. Rings. And so I'm standing at Broker's Council. Yeah, 6 rings is not a good amount of money.
You know, there's a song called 18 Rings.
Is there?
And it's basically about like someone starting out with just 18 rings and what they do. And you're a person who starts out with 6 rings.
Yeah.
Get it, Ashton. You're a shame.
Well, no, I'm very, no, no, I'm very prosperous.
Yeah.
Because I give away all my shit. Yeah. So while I'm at Fawn's Council, I see a familiar face.
It's Broker's one of, Council, you mean?
Yeah, Broker's Council. Yeah. I see a familiar face walk up. It's one of my watchers.
Yeah.
The people that keep an eye on me from a distance. And he hands me a little note with a seal on it. And I'm like, oh. He leaves. I open up the note and start folding it out because it's multiple folds.
Right.
And written in the middle of the letter is Blood Games. That's all it says.
Amazing.
And I'm like,
it's on.
For fuck's sake, not again. Blood Games is where one of my security team, who isn't even part of my security team anymore, Wynn, was bragging about how no one could possibly touch Gellert Ashton, and now they are on a mission to prove how touchable I am.
Yeah.
And I'm really touchable now, right? Yeah. Like, the defenses are very much down, right? Yeah. Like, so, if you can't kill me, you're a terrible assassin. but...
So good.
Yeah. So,
I love it, though. Yeah, it's so much fun for so many players.
And there was some controversy about this where they were like, ha, 1-0. And it's like, no, because... And they were like, that note could have been poisoned. And I'm like, well, you should have mentioned that in the note.
Yeah.
It doesn't count.
Which we'll come back to.
It doesn't count if there's no mention of poison in it.
Yeah.
So then, oh, fuck. Talk about the Novartis election.
Yeah, so
disgraced Talis Ashborn.
Oh, it was so...
with his beloved Novartis, the little wholesome
dude. It was so
pay to win collective. It was that so, is the Novartis.
It was so wholesome too. Originally, the way I'd envisioned in my head, basically, I wanted to add a lot more kind of culture and ceremony into it all. I'd bounced around a few ideas, one of which I was thinking of, and I think maybe something we could do in the future, but that's for now for the new leadership to decide, was like doing something where people would put like arrows in the person's quiver of the person they want to support and do something more symbolic.
Okay.
We didn't end up doing that. We literally did it how Fawn's Council votes for generals.
Okay.
But what was great about it
did
was...
Did you do facing the vote or turn away from the vote?
Turn away from the vote.
Yeah, it's a very Navari thing, isn't it?
It's a very Navari thing. We literally did it like Fawn's Council, and I felt like it was straight after Fawn's Council as well.
They do the same in Broker's Council as well.
Okay, yeah, I think it's very Navar. It was nice because Silver stood and Echo stood, and these are the two people I feel who have really, like, were the obvious kind of choices for the role.
Mm-hmm.
Like Echo's fairly new, but had like spent a lot of time at military council doing like the hard grind work, like the actual real engine room stuff that you don't see, the unsexy stuff of being the person who gets the information and will sit the longest in military council to get the most information to make sure that we're fully informed. It was very, very impressive over the last few events. And obviously Silver's just been an absolute fucking champ and my homie for the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to see them both stand, great to see them both ask questions and give really solid answers, like really strong.
It's just really nice to see some competent leadership of the Novartis.
It is good to see competent leadership in the Novartis.
How did it
a lot closer. It was very close. And Silver won, and then his first action was to ask Echo to be his second,
mm-hmm.
Which she accepted. It was really nice. It was so wholesome. I kind of, then I stood, I was a bit emotional actually, because it's kind of, when it actually comes to standing down from a position, especially the position, like, in the
disgrace.
Way.
In disgrace.
It's so hard, because it's like my team love me in a way, and I'm like their flawed character, right? It was really nice. It was really nice. I got a bit emotional, and it was very wholesome. And then we all went to the archery range, and I went off, got a whole bunch of cupcakes and treats, and brought them back to the archery range, and we just spent a lovely time at the archery range. Silver and Echo both chucked in the money for the rent in the archery range as well. They and the league chap, I wish I remembered his IC name. He's phenomenal, by the way. The archery range is so much fun. I really recommend it to anybody who's interested. Like, they literally, you can, for not very much money, rent a bow and some arrows and just go and take some shots.
That's nice.
It's great. It's fantastic, and they've set the archery range up really, really well. It's so well run. But there was lovely savoury bites, drinks with little taps that you could pour out, and I brought obviously a whole bunch of stuff over: lemonade, water, cupcake. I treat my people right.
I've been whispering in Silver's ear.
You have,
for a long time, about how it would be really good if the Novarchers had some competent leadership.
Yeah.
And now, finally...
Finally, it's happened.
Silver, the golden boy himself.
Listen, I'm gonna give myself some credit. I know you are wont to shit on me a bunch of times. There was a point where I was watching... Because bear in mind, it was like one of those bits in a movie where you're watching everybody... Like the younger generation. Like, I felt kind of like this. Kind of all, they're all taking shots down the archery range. I'm like about 10 feet back, just sitting there watching them all laugh and joke and talk about the future. You know, all sort of, you know, handing arrows out, talking about various things, talking about strategy and things. And I was like, for all of Talus's failings, he did manage to make sure that it got passed into awesome hands.
Yeah. It's all well and good until Silver gets busted for like a heavy duty bite addiction or something, you know?
But no, it was so good. It was so wholesome. I was genuinely like, it was lovely actually, because it was all about them. It was all about them and their, like, the future's theirs now. It was lovely to be part of it, and obviously now, like, when we get into the battles, just being an archer again, and it's a lot of fun. I'm so proud of them.
That's cool.
While we were there at the archery range, we had some people coming along doing an investigation. I can't talk too much about it, and I'm sorry about this.
Is this the private investigators in Navarre?
This is people who we know who
are doing
an investigation.
Yes.
And the people they were talking to were quite interesting about that.
Really?
And getting first-hand information on what was going on.
Oh my God, I wish we could talk about it.
It was so fun. And I'm really sorry, guys, that I'm talking about it in this kind of coded way. It was fun to see the people the people we know talking to the other people who we know who are involved, and the way those two parties interacted, not actually having any knowledge of each other's intentions.
Yes.
Was wonderful RP to watch.
Yes.
Because one side is like slightly legally dodgy, the other side is like law enforcement, but like with an understanding of the greyer moralities in the Empire.
Lawful evil.
It was so funny, right? And I was like, oh, they're kind of... you could see them feeling each other's motives out. Yeah. And like...
I had a few moments like this.
Really fun.
Gee willikers, I wish we could talk about it.
Yeah. But that was great fun. I can't say anymore, but that was all of the Marchers' party, which was a huge success.
Yeah. I went to... I did some walking around. I did a whole bunch of stuff. We had food at the Rambler's Rest, which was very, very nice. And then I set off straight after that to the diplomatic meeting, which I arrived late at because I was supplied... While eating my giant tomahawk steak, I was then presented with a very nice single malt whiskey and then a Cuban cigar.
Very lovely.
They treat you well, don't they, in Central again? But it's not a good look to walk down to Senate puffing on a Cuban cigar.
Or is senator.
I don't know.
I mean, that might be it. For Gellert Ashbourne, maybe that's the look.
It was a very nice cigar. And I'm not really a big cigar guy. Like, it's not really my thing, but this was actually
Is Gellert a cigar guy?
I think so, yeah. I think he is. So, got to a diplomatic meeting. I arrived a little bit late, and I was full of meat and cigar and single malt. But I sat at the back, and I kind of listened in. Oh man, I wish I could talk more about the Liberty Pact as well, because the Liberty Pact, the Liberty Pact, for those that don't know, is
probably the easiest thing.
Talk about that. So the Liberty Pact is a decision that the different nations, as in not the Empire, but as part of it, but foreign nations, who are non-slaving nations, and it has to be specifically they have made slavery illegal. Have come together and signed this treaty. And the treaty is that they will work together. It started off more economically, and now it's developing into something much more akin to...
Is it tends like the EU?
The EU, but also mixed in with NATO.
Actually more NATO, right?
It's more NATO. Well, because there's like...
Because it began as the EU, and
now there are not only trade sanctions on nations that are slavers, there are also trade embargoes.
Right.
And basically, it's turned a lot of the political, the diplomatic landscape into a binary.
Yes.
Those that are slavers and those that are not slavers.
Mm.
Gellert has some feelings on this.
Mm.
Also, the Liberty Pact has... There is a Liberty Pact person who is an imperial seat. They go and vote with the other foreign nations.
Interesting.
And then they come back to the Senate, and the Senate have to pass those. There's lots of pressure to do that, otherwise we'll leave the Liberty Pact. I have feelings towards that, which I might discuss later on, maybe, if you get that far into the episode. But it was quite interesting talking to this. And there was a bit of chat about... So Axos, this is all public knowledge.
Yeah.
Axos had gone on a raid with the Grendel. And there was...
Am I right in thinking that the Grendel are slavers?
Grendel are slavers, Axos are part of the Liberty Pact.
So by association, people were accusing them.
Yes. And I was like, well, did they do... Did they go and get slaves, or were they just on a raid? And then there was a chat about how it's not in the spirit of the Liberty Pact. And I'm like, what the fuck does in the spirit of the Liberty Pact mean?
Mm.
If it's not in the... It's a bit like...
It's got to be in the writing, right?
It's got to be in the writing. If you want to say in the spirit of the Liberty Pact, that remit has literally no end.
Yeah.
There is no end to the spirit of a contract, but there is to the actual wording in it. So there's a lot of talk about sanctioning Axos or potentially voting Axos out of the Liberty Pact. Right. And bear in mind, Axos are a very close nation to us. They were slavers, and I think either the Empire or Empire and others paid for... the change from them to be a slave nation to a non-slave nation, and it costs a lot of money to do
that. And it could be one of those things where you throw them back into that state of being if you move them out. All sorts of different things.
All sorts of things. Yeah. That they become isolated and all that jazz. There's also stuff to do with if we lose Axos, we'll... Because the Axos usually vote in line with the Empire.
Right.
So if we lose Axos, then now a lot of the Liberty Pact votes can be forced against our wishes or good judgment.
Sure.
So having Axos... It puts Axos,
the Commonwealth in a greater position.
The Commonwealth, very much so. And bear in mind, the Commonwealth are a very large nation, very powerful. I don't think they're at war with Yarm yet, but don't quote me.
They've been
there.
Threatening that. They kind of feel like been... a little bit like America in this situation.
They're about like, they're kind of like the greater good.
Yeah.
But like, we'll invade you, kick the shit out of you for your liberation type thing. And it's very complicated. And this is very, I'm like,
this is very surface.
I have a position on this, whereas that's not something that you should read about it yourself or come talk to different people. So then I spoke to one of the ambassadors there, who is the ambassador to the Iron Confederacy, and he basically asked me, I need a motion passing. I spoke to him briefly about what that motion was, and I was like, okay, this is a really good thing. Let me sleep on it, because I didn't want to give it away too early. I wanted to really think about it.
Because it's important to say, can you explain how your motions and seconds work, just for...
Yeah, so in Senate we have... As me, as a senator, I have one motion and I have one second. I only have those for per summit. Yeah. So over the weekend, I can only do one of each.
Yeah.
I need a second for a motion, and if I can use my second to support another senator's motion.
Right.
What
happens just in the instance if, say if you put a motion forward, but you don't get a second, do you lose your motion or can you then put it in again? You can't
put it in.
Right, so that's it. That's your one
shot. Well, you don't put it in because it won't count.
Right, okay, right.
So I don't know whether if you put it in, you lose it. There's...
Oh, so you literally have to... You can't even put it in until you've got a motion.
You have to have a second, as far as I'm aware. I don't know how that works. Okay. I don't think Senate will hear it if it's not seconded. So usually what happens is, while you're in Senate, like the kind of MC will say, next motion on the ballot... The motion brought forward by the senator for Hakinia, seconded by Madruga, and they go, is Madruga here? They say, yes, I do support this. Then we'll hear the motion. Then the senator that is responsible for that motion goes forward in front of everyone. They either talk about it themselves or they call for an expert witness.
Right.
Senate has a certain way of dialogue that's quite jarring, especially for people when they haven't been in there. Like when I was going for the ambassadorial vote and stuff like this, it's very jarring. So there is no conversation. Yeah. It's about question and response. So let's use this for an example. I go and I step forward and I say, this is my motion. I then discuss what that thing is. And then I say at the end of that, I call as an expert witness this person. That person, my expert witness, can't then speak, then the Senate raise their hands, the Master of Ceremonies points to different senators, they ask their question, either me or I say my expert witness, and then the expert witness.
But you have to invite them to speak.
I have to, well, yes, I think that's how it works. Yeah. Then there's, they kind of like, senators all ask their questions. Like, it's interesting. Say if you're a senator and you want to make a point. I see this quite a lot where people will ask a question that is a setup for a gotcha, but they can't then do the second part of the gotcha.
Right.
So they'll ask a question, the person will respond, and then they'll go, but doesn't that mean... And then they'll be like, no, this isn't a conversation.
So you have to almost work with a second senator in order to do a gotcha, if you're going to do it that way. Or you
frame your question better.
Yes.
So you say, in light of bloody blah, what do you think of this?
Right? You and have to think about the eventuality. You're
setting up the question. So you see a lot of like groaning faces of people realizing that their gotcha didn't really work because... And also, there's so much on the fucking... There's so many motions.
Yeah.
And Senate is only supposed to be like an hour. It's very rarely an hour. Anyway, I did the diplomatic meeting. I then go to Senate. I went to the Imperial offices to see some friends over there, and then I was like having a nice time, and I was like, oh, what time is it? And they were like, I don't know, like 4 minutes to 10. And I was like, and once Senate shuts, you can't like show up late for Senate and be let in.
Right.
Okay, you have to be in there before they close the doors. So I'm like, fuck, and I really need to pee. So I run over there and I'm like, how long have they got? And they're like, this many minutes. I'm like, fuck. So I had to go into Senate, bus in for the loo. And it's become like a theme over the weekend that I always went to Senate needing to go for the loo. And it was like, oh my God, I'm going to be that guy that peed his pants in Senate. And like, that's never going to not be with me, you know? Like, yeah. People are always going to be like, oh, do you know Dave? And they go, oh, which one? He's the senator that peed himself in Senate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear about the guy that peed in Senate? Like, I would be that guy.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Reversing time backwards quite a way, because you're at 10 o'clock at this point.
Yes.
I only just left an Avarchus meeting. All right. So going way back. It's after, obviously, everything at the Avarchus meeting, I go, and one thing I really want to do is pop round to the marches and see if I can get myself a copy of my newspaper article.
Yes.
So I pop round and I'm looking for my my provocative article in the trusty Turnip. Your
love letter to mercenaries, specifically a certain rugged, stoic mercenary captain.
Indeed. And it was entitled, Oh Captain, My Captain. And it basically detailed the finer attributes of every member of the Blind Eye, essentially. It was a lot of fun. Best part about it was
complimentary to the rest of them, but it was very much put one person above all others.
Oh yes, it's important that you recognise like these things. It was so much fun when I got it. There was the Marches Festivals going on, by the way, which is the
I missed it.
It was so good.
I know.
There was like a sponge adornishman was going on. Yeah. As I turned up, so much fun.
Is that okay? Could you be more specific? Are you talking about like a sponge,
a wet sponge in a bucket thrown at a Dornish person with their head in a docket?
I was going to say that like sponging a Dornishman could.
That yeah, you know, you're right.
There's
you're
a
right.
few different ways that could be taken.
Sure, but yeah, it was that kind of vibe. All kinds of other games, food on sale. It was lovely. Like, the vibe in the marches is like, I love it. It's very, very good.
A marcher.
Yeah, there's lots of that kind of stuff going on. Like, just people running around. Like, it was just this lovely scene of, like, you know, people playing music, children running around laughing. It was like literally walking into one of those scenes of, like, a pleasant village. It had all that kind of vibes going on. Got myself a copy of the newspaper, and Helen, who had been responsible for writing it, putting it together, was like, oh yeah, they bought like 4 or 5 copies or something, and then pointed towards one of the bars, and I went over to them and I kind of swaggered in. It was so fun to come upon my wonderful people of Black Vigil and be like,
what would you say the mood was like?
Well, most of them were very pleased to see me.
I imagine, yeah.
In fact, they
many smiles. I would
many
imagine.
Smiles. They were very pleased. They were pleased. Yeah. I, you know, I was going to do a reading, but I think I might save that for a later time.
Yeah. All of them very happy to see you.
Well, there was one. You know, the principal of the piece,
the captain. The captain.
Oh, the captain.
Yes.
And he was, you know. He's a stoic man. He's far too coy to fully explain his, you know, to fully express his desires. Oh my gosh. But I checked in a whole bunch, by the way. It's important to say during the event.
Oh, yeah. That's really important. Yeah, yeah.
And just like a whole bunch of like, are you okay? This is just a lot of fun. Are you
fucking hilarious.
There's a whole bunch of points because he's basically playing it with this kind of idea that he obviously is not receptive to these this kind of advances, and he finds me kind of irritating. But Talis is like, oh, he obviously wants me, why wouldn't he, right, kind of thing, you know. And I will win him, kind of thing. And there were just so many fun moments throughout this whole event where I'm basically like, he's trying not to laugh. And you know, you're when you know that thing where you can see you've got someone and you're trying to get them to laugh. It's so funny.
They're good people.
He's phenomenal. So did that. Then went back to Navarre. I have this weird thing being like, I'm going to just call myself a Z-list celebrity, Talis Ashbourne. I walk along. Oh, I'm constantly out of pocket, right? Everyone assumes, by the way, that I have money. Talis has no money. Well, you used to
have money.
Talis spends money as quickly as I get it. I never, ever will have more than a crown on me at any one time. I have no impulse control when I play it, which is actually really like how I love playing the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this thing sometimes where I'm trying to get somewhere and every few feet I walk, somebody will stop me and introduce me to people or whatever. It's a lot of fun. There's a whole bunch of times I'm sort of helping new players back in camp and directing them around. I love it. I love it so much. I love that this has become a part of my game, is just being like a kind of a weird, colourful information sign. And I'm not even that knowledgeable, to be honest with you.
But it's
interesting being like in that position where it's like, oh, you need to talk to this person, or have you considered doing this or whatever, or like, I'm wacky and I don't know what I'm talking about, going to see someone more interesting than me. It's fun. Like, I never thought that's the game I would be into. That's like, I don't think that's naturally something I thought Ian would do, but it is, and it's become that. While you're probably off at Senate, or just before you go to Senate, early into Songs and Stories, I decide I'm going to go and sing my song.
I missed it, by the way.
Yeah, I wanted to get... I was nervous. No, I was super nervous.
I respect it.
I went off and I did it fairly early. I'd never sung at Songs and Stories, because you told a story before. I remembered you saying when you were sort of doing a story that you kind of like signaled towards Gabby...
Mm-hmm.
That you wanted to do it. I wasn't sure exactly how that process worked, so I kind of walked around the circle and asked her, like, how do I go about doing that? She's just saying, I'll just, when I ask for people, just put your hand up, kind of thing. I'll know better for next time.
Yeah.
So when she asked the first time, suddenly got really nervous, so I didn't do it the first time. Somebody, and she kind of looked towards me, and I was like, I'm shitting myself. No, I'm not going to do it now. But somebody else stood up and did it.
Yeah.
This was a mistake. Because the person who did it before me was really good, and they did. But the thing is, they did this kind of like quite jaunty tune that was quite catchy, and it had like a rhythm to it. This rhythm was quite different to the rhythm of my song, which is quite kind of slow and mournful.
That's good.
No, that would be good if when it came to my turn to then do a song, I didn't stand up and realise as soon as I'd started that what I was doing was actually mimicking the cadence and the rhythm of their song. For
fuck's sake.
Because it actually still worked for my song, but it changed the whole dynamic of the song. It changed the song, like, in my mind. And this is actually, I have to say, when you're doing the thing, you're worrying about this stuff. Yeah. Or I am, actually. Like, when I'm singing, I'm like, when I realise that, fuck, it's too late to change. Right, I've started singing a certain way.
Yeah.
I didn't feel I could stop and restart and do the whole thing in the way it's supposed to be sung. And now it all has to be sung in this certain way, which is a bit more upbeat, which is not the fucking point of the song.
This is a sad song.
This is a sad song, yeah. This is basically a mea culpa, which is a kind of like, I'm responsible for all the things that happened, with an angle towards addressing a player... who plays a character called Yelona, who is kind of at odds with my character for essentially being responsible.
She's pissed.
Pissed with my character.
Really pissed.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
For my character basically getting their love killed. So as you can imagine, the whole point is to address this in fairly serious a manner.
Oh my god.
I sing it and I realise I'm singing it a little bit more upbeat than I would intend. And I'm too... It's too difficult to change at this point. But I do get through the song, and I have to say, I'm very proud of myself for getting through it, because I've never sung publicly before, especially not to a big group like Songs and Stories. It was very nerve-wracking to do.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the way I developed the song, one thing I'd kind of done with the song is like the full song, and then it kind of goes into like a bit of harmonics that then shifts into the opening of... a few lines from her song "Fly Flea Fro True," which you I changed.
Stole her song.
No, no, no. Well, I changed.
Made the song about you.
Okay, like don't say it as bad as it is. Like, but it was actually like the way I sung it was much more. It shifted much more to being the sad tone.
That's good.
That I was aiming for, because I realized as I was going through it and I was singing the first part of the song, okay, this is all too jaunty for what I intended. But I knew that there was going to be this harmonic section where I could change it, and then I could bring the tempo back down to what I wanted. And then I go into this bit, which is quite... And at that point, I'm like... it's basically just repeating the same line four times, which is like, fly free, fly true, but not for me, but for you. And then the last time I say it, but not for me, but not for me. And it's just very much about me. I know, I understand. But basically, as I'm singing it, the whole point is that, like, I repeat it four times, and the fourth time is, like, basically in tears kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just let all the emotions come out.
It's a pity party.
And directly in front of her. Like, so I've kind of done it. I've been singing this whole song to the crowd, and then for this last bit, I'm turning to her and singing it to her.
It's a pity party.
Yeah.
For you, despite her being the person
yeah.
that lost their love.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible. It's awful.
I can't see how that could possibly backfire.
But, so as I'm singing this bit, and I'm singing it, she's surrounded by all of her people, the same people who were at the bar in the previous event, who had all stood up and left with her when I turned up. They all drew daggers and surrounded her to make sure that I couldn't get too close. Because fucking Tanis Ashbourne is a fucking disgrace. it was so good, though. It was just this awesome moment.
Are you singing a song and they all draw daggers?
Yeah.
Jeez.
This is at Songs and Stories, and it's reached a point where, like, I don't know how this came across to me at this point. It's very emotional. I'm, like, literally crying. It's very, like, personal moment. And I sing this bit, and I turn and leave, and then she stands and says, stay. Like, and I'm, like, sort of midway out of the circle. I turn, and then she starts singing. And she starts singing this song of hers, which is really fucking cool. And I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like half in, half out of the circle, singing along when I can to this song that she's doing. And she addressed it to before I even began. She was like, pretty words, Tanis Ashbourne, and all this kind of stuff. She's so good, by the way. And basically just like dresses me down about the fact that I've made it like a public spectacle.
Yeah.
And does this whole thing... Like, you know, and it's basically like, basically dressing me down in a sense of like, you know, you have to act, you know, have to make actions and do things.
You made a Disney movie out of it.
Fucking hell. It was so good. I mean, I literally, as she's singing, like my eyes are just like, I'm like, my face is just completely wet. I leave the circle, walk around after this is all done. It was so awesome to do a thing where there was like, I mean, again, I don't know how this came across, but to me, and hopefully to her, it was like drama at Songs and Stories, right? Like actual character drama.
Plot.
Right? Plot. It wasn't just singing. It was like there's my character and her character, and there's an interaction in Songs and Stories. That's what I wanted. It came off wonderfully. I don't care that I messed up my part of the singing. I was really happy with it. I walked away so happy and so relieved that I did it. Walked around outside the circle, and she's so good. She gives me this fucking dressing down, literally, which is along the lines of what you're saying, which is just like, you had to make it a public thing. You had to do it as a spectacle. You know, it's all about you kind of thing. It was so good. It was so spicy. Hit me on exactly the levels I wanted it to be done. And it was just like, with wonderful kind of cheekiness involved as well. It was just an awesome moment. Like, there were... It's not resolved, and I love it.
I'm completely on
Yelena's side.
100%.
Of course. Like, but 100%. You should be. I'm on her side. But that's what makes it so good. It's like, I talked about this in the pre-LARP, but I really wanted to attack that that exact thing of people making the sorrow about them, right? And that's part of what the character is, and that's a failing in the character. I think it was like, it was the way I wanted to go with it. And
I'm just so impressed about how you're approaching game and how the people you're interacting with. I think it's really fucking cool, dude. Like, I really like it. And I hope Ilana shanks you outside the toilets.
Fucking hell. It was great. But yeah, so that was all of that. I just wanted to come back to that because it was so nice. The other thing that was really nice, because I had, like, obviously I hadn't hit quite the rhythm I'd wanted. There was a point halfway through the first verse of the song where I realized, oh man, this really isn't how I intended to sing the song. And it kind of messed me up a bit. Because I was like, I'm reading, because I've got like a print off of it, even though it's weird, I've got the song memorized, right? But I've got the sheet there as like an aid in case I forget when I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, nerves, right?
No, you should, yeah.
And then I kind of stumble a bit because I'm like, oh man, this really sucks that I'm not singing it how I want to sing it, how it's meant to be sung. But the crowd are really supportive. And then afterwards, I had loads of people approach me and be like, that was super fucking emotional. And that just felt so good to know that people were touched. I had people come out to me crying.
The emotions are better, man. Like, doing the emotion, like we said, like, people get emotionally affected by it. They want the narrative. They want the story. Like,
it was so good.
Fuck the performance and the notes, right? It's about projecting a real emotion to things, and those things are the most, they're the performances that are the best at Songs and Stories, and why Songs and Stories are so fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, it was my amateurishness actually almost works to the benefit of it, because it made it rawer in a sense. I think it kind of made me feel like, I think like I'll return and I'll sing it better at some point.
Don't leave that poor woman alone.
Oh no, I'm not going to do that bit again. Okay. But I'll sing the first part of the song is more of just like a part of the song. But what I mean is, like, I want to sing it and I want to sing it better.
Yeah.
But the first time I did it is always going to be awesome.
Okay. Cool.
So
I will do some more boring Senate stuff. Feel free to skip this part of the episode. So there's a kind of, there's rules of Senate that aren't rules. So people shouldn't, in theory, ask for money on the Friday.
Because money for things they want to build, or things they want to do?
Things that, basically, the Senate are the ones that are actually in charge of the purse strings of the Empire.
Okay? We're broke as a joke, spoilers, right?
Yeah, and we're in the what's called the Ilium Gap, which is, last season, Ilium is the resource that goes up to the boar seats.
Right.
Now, the boar seats have slowly been nationalized, as in they've been
given to different nations
for them to decide in their own way how it's going to be voted for.
You explained this to me because I didn't actually realize, I'm not sure people do more broadly realize this, the Senate still actually pays for these positions.
Yes, they keep upkeep on all of those.
And so essentially, so individuals within nations who these things have been nationalized to are getting these resources as essentially personal resources that they can then choose.
Literally personal resources. There's no obligation apart from whatever voting system they have for those positions.
So say, for example, the Fimble being one. Say if I had control of the Fimble, I got a whole bunch of weirwood, I could just use it on whatever the fuck I wanted. And there'd be no accountability beyond the next election.
No, and there's no mechanic to say, I want to give 50 thrones to the fucking Senate, okay?
Right.
So the Senate, and this is very much anecdotal, used to have, let's say, 1,500 to 2,000 thrones per summit to spend on stuff.
Right.
We had 500. Or was it 600 this time? We had 600 this time.
This is the leaner,
and this is the season. Broke time. Yeah.
Because there's basically taxation taken from different regions at different times.
So the income works. So there is tax. That is like a MacGuffin that is from each region. So say if a region gets invaded, you get less tax.
Right.
If it has a prosperous time, more tax. If it's been devastated, it takes time to recover that tax. So the actual players themselves are not taxed. There's no mechanic to tax private wealth.
Regions as we control them are taxed.
The real money comes from these Imperial boar seats.
Right.
They are
literally auctioned off, and the money from those auctions goes into the Senate budget. And that's really what makes the Senate go. Okay, right. That's really where the money is. So last season was the Ilium gap, and Ilium is worth less than all the other resources, and therefore they go for bugger all. So yeah. That's why we have no money. People came on Friday and asked for money, which right. is controversial, but there were reasons why those people did it. But so we started off with what, 600? By the, it went down to a certain amount, then another amount, then we went down to 83¾ thrones, and then okay. that disappeared. And by the time I left Senate on Friday, 0 thrones in the Senate budget.
Right.
Not a fucking Scooby was left, okay?
Because the military takes a huge... Like, resupplying armies is a massive part of the budget, right?
The quartermaster did a really good... The quartermaster, by the way, who is in charge of resupplying armies, which is really needed, did a really good thing where he managed to get discounts on the money spent. So he had asked for... I think it was... 200, it's usually probably double that, slightly less than double that. But he managed to bring the cost down.
Right.
We ended up giving him, I think it was 275 thrones. Right. And that's good because we can resupply armies. But basically, we rinse through the cash.
Right.
And then literally left with zero money. Like, I had more money
yeah.
with my 6 rings... than the Senate had.
I think it's also important to say, just so people who obviously don't play Empire understand, there were certain venues that I was attending where I could have randomly grabbed a handful of people who would have had more money.
More
inside a tent would have had more actual money than the entire Senate. Than
the entire Senate budget before the yeah. start of the Senate. Yeah. There is so much money in private hands from people that have been playing the game for years and years. Not even people that have been playing years and years. There are
some people have access to resources. Yeah,
there's
right?
lots of there's ways you can do it. One of the best ways is bourse seats. The return on bourse investments is very high. The
inflation's national, massive as well.
Yeah, the national bourse seats are obviously a giant drain, and none of that money goes back into the Empire's coffers. And this is kind of getting to a pretty critical, like, this is
unsustainable levels.
I would describe it as unsustainable. Like, we have a certain amount of build slots per season, and those build slots are, there's a backlog of things being built that needs funding, but because the people with the money aren't using that money to fund stuff, people are looking to the Senate to fund stuff, but they've got none of the money or the resources.
Right.
So the economy is kind of fucked. Basically, hyper-liberalism...
Yeah.
Libertarianism, which is kind of the model that Empire is based on, turns out is pretty shit and leads to oligarchies.
Yeah.
And that is literally what's happened. Okay, like the Empire is pretty much dominated by oligarchs. The state has no money, which means that there's no public funding.
Sure.
Which will probably start to come to a head this year, I think, in a big dramatic way. There's been a long course of this happening for years and years and years. Yeah. And now it's kind of getting to the point where it's getting quite bad. And when we can't fund armies,
yeah.
and we're relying on private individuals to fund armies, we're getting into some pretty dicey that starts territory. Getting
weird, right? The idea of somebody paying for an army,
yeah,
you start getting into some fairly Caesarian kind
and
of level.
Ownership and yeah. Oversight, responsibility. It yeah. gets very murky from here on out, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, yeah. So I left Senate, and then I went to
the loo
yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
And then I went to the Drunken Goose in Navarre, where we had drinks and centres. Oh, I should say, I forgot to say earlier, the drunken goose found my wallet. They found my money pouch.
Brilliant.
They come up to me and said to me, oh, I need to talk to you about something. And I was just like, oh, no, because no one wants to talk to me about something that's good.
That's
like,
good.
No, you want to hear about this. And yeah, they gave me the pouch and it had all the money in it. So I gave them some. I gave them a few crowns to say thank you. But yeah, legends. So basically, despite being like dedicated to vigilance, I left my wallet in the goose. So
good.
But while I'm sat in the Golden Goose.
Drunken Goose. Yeah. Which
there's
is great, by the
Leafy
way.
And the proxy for Faerûnyn, and we're sitting there having a chat. And one of the people there is the fucking editor for the Oathrite, which is like the biggest paper at Anvil.
Yeah.
And I'm grumpy and a little moist, and I
had an article written in the Oathrite as well. We'll get to this.
Yeah. I maybe said a few things.
Provocative.
That maybe probably shouldn't be said in front of what is effectively, like, I don't know, if you live in a different country, we have some tabloid newspapers like The Sun, The Mirror.
It's awful here in the UK,
The Daily Mail. And these are, like,
absolute rags.
Yeah, they're political, absolute dog shit. They're, like, really, really bad, really misrepresent everything.
Yeah.
And the Oathrite, dare I say, can sometimes misrepresent what happened in a slightly political aspect.
It's agendered.
It's agendered.
Editorialized.
And I did say, like, I was kind of like being pretty antagonistic. I was like, oh, your magazine. he was talking to me and he's like writing furiously for the entire conversation.
Oh my gosh. I love, by the way, all of the newspapers.
Oh,
all the people who put all the time in. It adds so much to the game.
So good.
Like, all the different flavors of newspaper. Like, I love the Inquiring Incap, which is the Navari one, for example. It's just complete.
But the Inquiring Incap is genius, and every article is like really, really good.
I got in some love thrift with Georg, which was hilarious. But we've been sending scented letters to each other or something. It was hilarious.
So good. That's more like a kind of like gossip
National Enquirer. It's so well written,
full of puns and jokes.
Yeah,
and it's really, really good. The Oathrite is, there's so many articles in it, it's hard to characterize it as one thing, but like, there's a lot going in. It feels like the biggest national paper.
Yes, I think so.
Like, I mean, the imperial rather than a nation. It's an empire wide.
There's a lot that goes into it as well.
And like, it's a really interesting read. And it's also really interesting when you know anything about the subject.
Yeah, and also the way
it's worded. Like, something happened last summit. I'm reading the article.
Yeah.
There's like, our sources say.
Yes.
And it's like, well, what
sources?
What sources? And what evidence is there for that? And there's like, I don't know how media savvy most people are.
Yeah.
But like, you can start to read the grey area of what something's saying, and it's so well done is that you can read an article and be like, well, that guy's a fucking prick.
Yeah.
And then be like, well, there's nothing.
The lens that's used.
There's nothing actually incorrect.
Yeah.
But the framing of it.
I felt my article was very indicative of this.
You were like, oh, describe.
Okay, so basically, there's nothing wrong with the article, and this is what I love about it.
Yeah.
The things that were said and are true.
Yeah.
And it's the spirit in which some of it's written. But what's great about it was, so when, and it was just so perfect, because when I got interviewed, because they do these interviews, by the way, like, in person. When I was interviewed in person, it was literally directly after my bow had been broken by Yelona. I was in a very emotional kind of state, and I was dealing with all of that.
Yeah.
And it was the classic thing. He's a wisdom priest, as matters should be.
Yeah.
And he's kind of very supportive, like, you know, there for me, understands my position, you know.
Mm.
But it was OC, this was so well done, because it was all done with like, I understand what's going on, like, I know I'm gonna spill my guts and be like full,
it's
kind
the,
of
it's the quotes,
yeah,
the quotes...
The quotes were mined were, specifically. The quotes are snipped at the exact parts of the wordage that gives you the optimum impact for negativity towards whatever statement
like
you're making.
It's like chimp clipping a Twitch streamer and only taking like whatever they said out of context by the best way.
I think for my one, for example, like bearing in mind there's a fair bit which Telus has done, which you can definitely hang him up for. I don't think it's necessarily that bad. What I'm saying is I think it's very intelligently done where it's agendered. But it's true.
It's parody on real newspapers.
Yeah, I think it was actually like... Because I would say my article is not... it's not false. It's not...
I don't think... You said it was like a hatchet job. I don't think it is.
To tell us it's a hatchet job, because it's not in the spirit of how he communicated and he was taken advantage of.
I think the article is very well written.
Oh, it's not there.
They throw you under the bus at the start of the article, but then there's a whole like couple of paragraphs where they talk about the kind of redemption and all of this stuff. I don't... It's a very well written
article. It's well done. But what I mean is, I think it's very... I love the attention to... It's almost like the RP in the writing is very strong. Like, you can feel that the person who's writing it actually has taken a fair bit of time to think about the tonality of the writing and the characterization of the writing. It feels very well editorialized. I mean, it's good.
I'm saying all this now before...
You're going to get an absolute ripping...
Senator Ashbourne... thinks Senate is incompetent.
You've had a couple of these your previous times as ambassador, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pretty funny. I think it's great. And I actually, it was funny talking to, because it was the editor of the Oath Right, and it was like, he's a very smart guy.
Yes.
And there's like a kind of, there's a fun kind of winky face while you're
this
having
is
a conversation.
Actually what I had, where it's like, and they are... Like, for example, with the Oath Right, they're good about getting in touch with you before the event and just letting you know this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
Obviously, if stuff is OC upsetting, they would.
But I also think
it's so
like,
well done.
For me especially, like, and you as the leader of the Novatches, we're public figures.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's kind of fair game to push the agenda, to do whatever.
That's exactly what I play for, right? Like, that's the whole, that is the point. Right, that is the point of the character, is supposed to be like that way. And I think they identify that really well, and they touch on it in just the right character.
While I was there, a lovely young lady came along who was asking about becoming the ambassador to Acevedo.
Yeah,
because it was up for election.
Because I actually came and sat with you during this bit.
Oh, yeah. And it was like, it was funny. Leafy was like, oh, you want to talk about the diplomatic game? Here's Keller Ashbourne. And it was just like, oh, yeah, come and sit down, let's talk. So had a really good chin wag with her. Also spoke to, this is the next day, I don't think I put it in my notes though, spoke to a fella from the Brass Coast. If you're interested in being an ambassador and you're not Navari, come find me out. I've got to put you enough of a reputation now for being the person that's into that stuff.
Yeah.
So definitely come and talk to me. It's really nice getting people involved in it. Like, I like the idea of... I always think this, especially I'm going through myself, go for an election, you'll learn a lot if you... But come back after that. You won't necessarily get it first time, but I think it's definitely worth giving it a
punt. I didn't put this on the notes because this happened on Saturday, but there was a point where I was in a pub in the marches and I was just sitting with some people I didn't know. I was just sitting there having a drink with a friend there. And they were talking international politics. And I just sort of took an interest. I was like, if you're interested... go and talk to Gellert Ashbourne. And they were like, oh, we've heard of Gellert Ashbourne.
Oh, no.
It was interesting. It was fun. But it's like, you're known about as like...
That fucking idiot. The failed... Like the Inquiring Incap put, failed ambassador makes Senate run.
So good.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah,
so good.
Oh, I've gone off at this point. Yep. So after I leave you guys, you're in pretty deep in your whole senatorial stuff.
Yes.
It's a lot of talking and not enough drinking, in my experience.
That's fair.
I found actually, about half an hour of that
was enough.
Was enough entertainment for me. They'll call it entertainment.
Yeah.
So I headed off to the league, where I bumped into the wonderful Benno de Carve, singing wonderful sea shanties, absolutely half cut, with his beautiful hat, which I can only describe as like a Pope-esque hat.
I would say it's got very heavy Catholic tones.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was phenomenal. It was so good. There was singing, there was dancing. I'm sure most of the people in there can't remember what was going on. It was very good fun. I turn up, I'm telesing about handing out some bubbles and just having some fun in there, sitting down, grab some drinks. It was great.
You're such a party animal. Even on the Thursday...
Oh, we didn't even get into this,
On Thursday, I went to bed at like 3:30-ish.
Yeah.
Right? And you weren't back yet.
Yeah.
And then you come in at like 4:30. And Bungle woke up in the morning and was like, the tent door was open. That's how like you would just collapse inside.
It was heavy.
And he had check in on you.
Fuck, I was with Tom from fucking LARPs and Tarps from the Jolly Jackdaws. And all of that lot.
Other podcasts are available.
And Jesus, that ended up in some drinking and skullduggery. It was great fun. But the same thing.
And Friday, I was in bed by, I think, midnight.
Yeah. And... But to be fair, though, you have a busy day on Saturday.
To bed early is big and clever. Big and clever,
dude.
And I like it.
Don't look at me as an example of how you should play. Having said that, I spend the full amount of time that I think is healthily possible and possibly unhealthily possible engaging in as much game as I can.
Yes, that's true. And you've got so many parties to go to.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. Should we talk about the battle stuff tomorrow? Because you mentioned it, but we can go through it in detail on Saturday.
Yeah, basically, I went drinking around the nations. I spent some time learning about the battle for tomorrow, but it's not important. We'll talk about that tomorrow. It was a great time. Friday is... Because there's no battles, there are skirmishes taking place. It's just a case of outlandish debauchery.
Sorry, I was just looking for the D20.
We have 12 Patreons. Okay.
Keep touching the screen, it will turn off.
We have 12 Patreons, so Dave's going to roll a...
Ian.
No, I've done it. All right. So Dave's going to roll a D12, and we're going to pick our Patreon.
Number eight.
Mark Kogelin.
Oh, God, we need to learn how to say this guy's Mark, fucking name.
Mark, you're going to have to get in touch with us, I think, and maybe do like a pronunciation breakdown, or watch us suffer for many a podcast to come.
Constantly.
But thank you so much, Mark. It's dude. We've only just begun. I think Saturday gets even more wacky and wild. Basically, you get up to some shenanigans that I really must know about. I feel like actually a lot of the stuff I walked into this event was kind of like semi. Not pre-planned, but I had a knowledge of what was going to... Maybe I was going to partake in this event with some variance. You know, you can never account for having death threats. But, like, you really engaged in some skullduggery, which I think we're going to dig into on Saturday.
Well, I was in a rambunctious mood.
Yeah.
And I had a really good time.
Yeah.
So join us for Saturday coming up next.
Yeah.